possibility of the weight of failure. When Christ faces down temptation, there is always that weight behind it of what if? What if can be a very troubling thing as we go down rabbit holes or cling to the various problems and possibilities. But in this moment, we must consider what might have happened to us, for us, for the world, had Christ not been greater than temptation. The whole plan of salvation doesn't happen. The whole everything. This moment is not just a simple moment where Christ faces down temptation and walks away victorious. This is a moment where we see the level of which the setting of Jesus' ministry will follow. What's on the line? What's at stake every step of the way? This is a huge moment for the church and for Christ. And we see the problems of temptation here. When we consider this, we must look at what happens in a 40-day fast. If we were to fast for 40 days, one, we would be hungry as all get out. Two, our minds would hopefully be sharpened. That is why you fast, to sharpen your focus, to sharpen your mind. Sure, your body is craving food, but your mind is set on other things. Your mind is focused. And in this point of physical want and theological sharpness, we see Christ. And first, the temptation comes, and it's a physical temptation. Hey, Jesus, come on. Just turn these stones into bread. Just have a couple loaves of bread. It's no big deal. You're the Son of God. It takes nothing for you to do this. As we listen to the temptations, we also need to listen to how they are presented. Temptation is not like me singing. It doesn't sound awful. It sounds very melodious to our ears. It's reasonable. Now, there's another piece just than feeding the physical that happens in this first temptation. It's a test of the sensational. You see, all of the false prophets that would have come before Jesus, all of them who had come and said, I'm the Messiah, and then something happens and it's the proof exists that they are not, would promise great deeds of power, great deeds of, look what I've done. They would offer to split a rock, divide the Jordan, all of that. It captures attention. It amazes them, but there's no substance to the showcase. When Jesus' power happens, it is not for the sake of show. It is for the sake of God's plan. When the 5,000 are fed, it is to feed the need. When the blind are given sight, it is to restore what was harmed. Everything Jesus does is not for the show, but for a purpose. Think about that second temptation. And it follows that sensational line. Imagine Jesus jumps off the top of the building and all the people see it. Oh, what a great sign and show it would have been. But why? Why would he have done that? Just to prove that he could do it? Again, there is always a purpose behind his miracles. When he shows power, it is for some reason. And it always is not in service to him, but service to God and humanity. But truly, the greatest difficulty comes in that last temptation, because it asks of him and offers to him so much. The temptation is to place God's will second to accomplish the goal. Place God's plan aside and find a new plan. All this I'll give to you, Jesus. All this you're going to try and accomplish through your ministry, through the cross. All of this, I'll just give to you. Bow down before me. Such an easier path without the cross, without the ridicule, without death. And all it takes is disobeying one time. All it takes. And yet, Christ says no. But there's another piece here. The temptation to compromise for success. We see compromise often in government, in business, as a good thing. You need to compromise to reach a deal. You give some, you take some, you give a little, you get a little. All of that is part of what is living and functioning. But this is not public governance that we're talking about. We're talking about the very fiber and basis of faith. To compromise the very basic principle of faithfulness is unconscionable. And yet we do it all the time. On the one hand, we look at this moment and look at our own lives, and this moment becomes very difficult. Because we look at the temptation that Christ faced and we think, well, look, Jesus got through, but Jesus is Jesus. We're just us. But there's a beauty in it. There is a beauty in that God knows the temptations we have faced. God knows what it feels like to hear the whisper of temptation in our ear. God knows what's on the line and what failure means. We have a Lord who has faced what we have. And on the one hand, sure, it is comparing blueberries to watermelons. But it gives us hope. Hope that we have a Lord who is more powerful than temptation. Hope that our own failures will not hold us back. Comfort and hope are what today are about. That Christ walked a path so similar to ours, and yet his was free of sin. Not free of temptation, but free of sin. Brothers and sisters, may we find hope and comfort in this. May we too be able to face down temptation, not just today, not just tomorrow, but every day. But also, when we do fall into it, may we know that Christ has triumphed over it. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us respond to God through our offerings.